You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
So we're going to kick off a series today that's going to take us pretty much towards the end of June. We have a guest speaker coming in June, the second Sunday of June. So we'll tell you more about him next week. But for the next six Sundays, we're going to be in a series called The Journey of Faith. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word faith, but a lot of people think, or living by faith, you hear that phrase, living by faith, or if you read parts of scripture, you see women and men of God who live by faith, and their lives look so dramatic, look so crazy. And so sometimes I think when we talk about faith, people kind of can feel like it's an extreme sport. It's high risk, high reward, few do it, and you need to be a little crazy to enjoy it. So has anyone ever done crazy stuff here? Anyone skydived before? You want to. Okay. I have skydived and I have proof. It was about 11, 12 years ago. That's me. You can tell it was a while ago because I do not look like that anymore. So that's actually my father-in-law. So that's it, and then right on the left of my brother and sister-in-law, and in the middle was Michael, their friend, and this was in just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, and so we went skydiving, and it was a gorgeous day. It was a windless day, so they were able to take us up a bit higher. So we went to 14,000 feet. Now, if you've never skydived before, what you do is you have a bit of teaching beforehand, right? You probably want that. So they take you through a little bit of a course in the morning. Then they strap on the harness. Now, we were doing a tandem jump, which means that you dive with somebody, so you're attached to that person. Okay, you don't need to do that, but it's longer training if you want to skydive solo. Yeah, dying is not the point. And then it's time to go. I think even in the background, I don't know if that was the plane, but it's a small plane like that. And all the seats are ripped out and you're all sitting in because you're now strapped to your instructor, right? And so it's kind of awkward, but you're all sitting there and it goes up and it's like, it's noisy because, you know, it's just a little plane like that. And you start cruising in 6,000, 7,000 and the earth is beginning to get a little smaller and smaller and smaller. And you begin to get like, it's really high. So if you battle with heights, I don't know how you can overcome this, but it actually almost gets to a point where it's so high, it kind of doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're like 30 meters up, it's like, oh my gosh. But when you're like 3,000 feet up, it's like, well, I don't know. It's like, is that far or not? It's like, then you get to like 12,000 feet and then it's like, oh, it's a clear day today. So we're going to go to 14,000 feet because that's going to give you more free fall. Right? So we go to 14,000 feet and then they rip open the side door and then it's like, that's it. So I'm just preparing you. You wanted to go. So you said you want to go skydiving. I'm just preparing you. Like, it's nothing. Like, everything's crazy loud. You can't hear anyone speaking. The wind, the propeller planes, da da da. And then it's your turn. And so your instructor shuffles you to the edge, right? And then you've got to get on your knees like this. And it's just you and Earth, and this wind. And then on his instruction, he says, lean out. And so what they're telling you in the training, it's really important to breathe. Okay, I think that's obvious. But they say when you first go out, because it's so high, because it's kind of shock and this wind, people don't breathe. And so they can faint and pass out. And so they said, we recommend that you just shout or cuss, swear. Just get something out so you can start breathing. It's like a baby when it comes out the womb. It needs that first breath. Get those lungs going. It's kind of what you need. It's like you're being reborn in some way. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to. And so boom. And then he kicks you out. And what's crazy is actually a camera guy, because then they'll sell you the video afterwards and, you know, want to document your experience for $5,000 or whatever. But the guy, the video guy is hanging on out the plane on one of the arms of the plane, and he's ready and he's hanging on like this and he's just smiling. He's like, yeah, this is great. I do this all the time. And you're like, oh my gosh. And I got to tell you, it's the weirdest thing, because everything in your body is telling you, this is not what we want to do. We want to stay alive. It's like every instinct in your body kicks into self-preservation. And so everything in you does not want to make that step out of the plane. And so eventually they kind of give you a little gentle nudge and you go out. And it's like you get that first breath. And then for us, we had a 60-second free fall. which means they don't open the parachute for 60 seconds. And it's so high. It's like Earth is kind of coming there, but you still feel like this is crazy. And then pulls open the parachute. Thank God that worked. And then it's a beautiful, like 3 or 4 minute, just gentle little moment down. So it's great. Just make sure you have your life insurance in order for your loved ones. And so that was my only time skydiving. I would definitely do it again. I would love to do it again, and I encourage you all to do it with proper training and the proper people that know what they're doing. But I think in a lot of times people think faith is like that. Wow, that's a crazy way to live. That's so extreme. Man, it's marvel at people who do that. Yet faith is actually way more commonplace than that. In fact, I would say to you that every person lives by faith, regardless of their religious person or not, if they call themselves religious or not. None of us can live by sight, because none of us knows what's going to happen 30 seconds from now or a minute from now. We have a good idea, like routine is helpful. The sun comes up, generally goes down. So we know that. But reality is we all live by some measure of faith, some measure of trust in something or someone for different things in our lives. So it's not a crazy idea to say living by faith. The question is, what is your source of faith? Is it trustworthy? Is it substantial enough to be able to carry some of the curveballs that life gives you? So this series is going to explore faith, and we call it the journey of faith because it really is a journey. And kind of like a muscle, faith can grow, and it needs to grow, and it grows as we exercise it. It's really important that we engage our faith and exercise it. And so we're going to look at some men and women in the Bible and learn a little bit from how they modeled faith to us. And so I'm going to kick off today with a guy called Abraham, but you're going to meet him as Abram. His name was changed later. A little bit confusing, I know, but we meet him in Scripture. He's still Abram. The passage we're going to read is actually a very weighty passage in Scripture, Genesis chapter 12. So I'm not going to do it any service today because that's not the angle we're looking at. We're just looking at how Abram took a step, so to speak, out of that plane on his journey of faith. So join me in Genesis chapter 12. It'll be up on the screen. We're just going to read the first 5 verses. And just to give you the context, Genesis 1 and 2 goes really well. God creates the world. If you've never read the Bible, God creates the world and puts mankind as the pinnacle of his creation. All good. We have seamless relationship with God. He says, go, I've given you dominion. You know, go create families, start businesses, create culture. Just go and let's enjoy creating together. It's God's heart. Mankind decides to do it their own way. Not a good idea. And so we are alienated from God. We turn away from God. We don't want to do it his way. And so from Genesis 3 onwards, it's just a downward spiral of how good that goes for us. Not good. Like just horrible, 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 horrible. God starts again with a guy called Noah and the flood, and seems to be going off on a great start. But as soon as that happens, again, the heart just descends, descends, descends. But in Noah's lineage, there's a chosen people. And so Abram's dad is a guy called Terah. And God actually tells him to go, I want you to move from this place, and I want you to go to another place that's called Canaan. And so he does. He takes up his family, and they're on the way there. They're stopped at a place called Haran, and they actually never get to Canaan. So for whatever reason, they decided to settle in Haran. Later on, his dad passes away, and so this is where we catch up with Abram in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. That was his nephew. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, who was going to be later changed to Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. And so even just in that, and you just see God's heart is to restore and undo all the terrible things that sin and our rebellion has done. His desire is to restore that. And so through Abram comes the nation of Israel. Through the nation of Israel culminates in Jesus, and through Jesus us, the church. And so that's God's still heart. So that's for another message, another time. What we want to look at today is just the incredible response Abram had to God's word to go, to leave. And so in some ways, he had a major step of faith. And so we're going to be talking about that today, stepping out. And so the journey of faith. So when we think about faith, it's not an extreme sport like skydiving. All of us participate, right? You all get to participate in the thing. In fact, you are. You're living by some measure of faith today. The question for you is what you're placing your faith in, a good and worthy source to live by it. But sometimes we talk about faith, it can also be faith as belief. When we talk about the Christian faith, right? It's a set of truths that we affirm and believe. Or if someone says, I believe in God, right? That's a measure of faith. But it's a very small measure of faith. In Jesus' half-brother James writes later a letter, and he kind of says, yeah, like even the demons believe in God. So he kind of like, it's kind of like the lowest bar ever to say, I believe in God. But it's a good start. R.C. Sproul says it like this, though. He says, it's one thing to believe in God. It is another to believe God. To believe God, to trust Him for our very life is the essence of the Christian faith. So faith is not just belief. It now goes to another level. Faith as trust. Faith as trust. In other words, a reliance upon and trust in God. And this is central to the message and emphasis of Christianity. And so we see this. God speaks, Abram responds. This is the pattern. God speaks, Abram goes. God initiates, we respond. It's always the pattern. The order is important. God has done something, we now respond to that. God has said something, we respond to that. And so that's the pattern really in the life and the journey of faith, and we're going to unpack that a little bit now. So faith grows by hearing and acting and responding to God's word and God's actions, right? It's really important. It's not just hearing. It's not just I believe and having a set of beliefs that we ascribe to, but it's never embodied in how we live. That's a deceptive form of living by faith. And many people think that that's what the Christian life is about. It's just ascribing to a set of beliefs, but kind of live my life kind of how I live. No, you're living by another faith, really. Maybe it's faith in yourself, faith in something else. But Christianity is hearing God's word, God's directions, and acting upon it. Acting is really important in the journey of faith. I had to get out of the airplane to say I skydived. I didn't think about it. I did think about it and say, hey, I went up there and I had a great time and did you actually get out the plane? I didn't get out the plane, but I thought about it a lot. No, that's not. And so the acting is a really important part. And so what does stepping out in faith require from us? And we're going to look at that now. We're going to look at two things. When we step out, we're doing two things. The first thing we're doing, stepping out, requires stepping away. It's moving away from something. It was time for Abram to leave his country, to leave his family and his father's house and follow God. Now, in just a couple of verses there, but think about that for a while. He's been living. He has a life. He has a family, an extended family. We talk about family here. It's not just mom, dad. It's like extended family, big family, right? In that time, it was really important. Family and extended family stay together. That was how you had security. It's how you built wealth. And so we can assume that they've been living in that country for a long enough time for him to have established himself. He's got a career maybe, right? He's got his habits. He goes this way to work. He likes this coffee shop, okay? Doesn't like that coffee shop. He likes this bakery. Doesn't like that bakery, all right? I'm embellishing here. But can you see? You've got to get into his shoes a bit or get into his sandals, if you will. Very similar to you and I. You have your ways. And so God now calls to him and says, it's time for you to leave. Not only leaving your country, and think about how it's harder. Your country, you kind of your family, and then your father's household. It's getting harder and harder, and God's specifically doing that. And so for you to leave your family wasn't just hard, it was scandalous. Like, I know I'm speaking to a lot of people who have lived this. A lot of us weren't born in this country. A lot of us moved away from our country, away from our family, away from our household. So some of you are really identifying well with this. And so to leave your family, though, was just scandalous in that time. Some would look at that and say, how irresponsible of you. And honestly, sometimes the journey of faith looks like irresponsibility. It looks irresponsible sometimes. There's a fine line. Sometimes we think doing an irresponsible thing is faith. That's also not good. Okay, just because it's irresponsible and crazy and extreme doesn't make it faith. All right? It's not an extreme sport. But there are many times when God calls us to do something that's very contrary to how other people think you live a life. That's not how you build wealth. That's not how you're not supposed to leave your family. You're supposed to grow your family and extended family. It's like, this is a very similar culture to a lot of your cultures, very big on family. And God says, no, it's time for you to leave. Your father took you so far, but he didn't take you all away. And I want to take you all away because I've got a bigger purpose here in mind. I've got a bigger family in mind. And if you read the story, then you know just what God was wanting to do through Abraham. So was that irresponsible? Well, it really depends on how you look at it. You know, what's more irresponsible, responding to God's call or just going with the flow and assuming you're in God's will, never seeking him and never asking him, God, what are you doing? What are you up to? Where are you working? How do you want me to be involved? For a lot of us, that's the danger, is just week in, month in, and year out. Do we ever stop to pause and say, God, am I still in the place that you want me to be in? We just assume that, right? And so that could be seen as way more irresponsible, just going with the flow, than ever stopping and pausing and saying, God, do you want me to go to a different flow? Am I just caught up in doing what everyone else is doing? Am I caught up in my family's expectations of me? Those are hard conversations to have because family is a big part of God and Bible, but it's not ultimate. It's not ultimate. God's ultimate. And so when you stand before God, you're not going to give an account of, did you live up to your family's plans and purposes for your life? No, did you live up to God's plans and purpose for your life? And a lot of that includes family. And God's not anti-family. That's not an anti-family, anti-country, anti-leave everything and go. But sometimes God will call us to do hard things. 11 years ago, we got onto a plane from Cape Town, left my parents, took their only two grandchildren, and moved to the other side of the world. Now, the great thing for them is they're Christians, so they got it, but it was the hardest thing to reconcile is following and pursuing God's will and breaking the heart of people I love. How do you reconcile that? It's hard. You just trust God. But it's not good enough to stay. Family's not good enough to stay. And so sometimes God's going to call you to do hard things, but his grace will be there for you to be able to see it through. So you'll never follow God, or you'll never follow the God who calls you if you don't let go of the life you want. And so that's a big question of faith and trust in. Do you trust that God's plan for your life is better than the plan that you might have for your life right now, or the career development that you have right now, or the plan that the Canadian society tells you should be, you know, by this age you should be this, 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 whatever, the Canadian dream, however you want to phrase it. So stepping out requires us stepping away. What? Stepping away from what? Maybe it's not as dramatic as physically stepping away. Maybe it's stepping away from a comfort zone. Think about when you leave your family, when you leave your nation, how much of your identity is wrapped up in that? I'm South African. I'm Filipino. I'm Canadian. I'm from Abraham's household. My dad is Terah. So much of his identity is wrapped up in that. So much of his security is wrapped up in that. So much of his comfort is wrapped up in that. And God's telling him, it's time to leave that. And I'm going to give you a new identity. I'm going to give you a new security. And I'm going to give you a new people. And through which it's going to be a blessing to the world. And so whatever it is for you, maybe it's a leaving a comfort zone that God's calling you to leave, let go of, step away from. But stepping out in faith is going to require you initially to step away from something or someone. And so that can be hard, but it's part of the process of stepping out in faith. But then stepping out is not just stepping away, it's stepping towards something as well. Stepping out requires us to step towards something. And so in some ways you're stepping toward the unknown, right? Even though God was saying, hey, I'm going to take you to a country you haven't been there before. So he didn't have the opportunity of going into Google Maps and checking out Canaan and getting the Yelp reviews of everything that's going down in Canaan. Right? It's looking like a good place. So and when we were making the decision to move here, my wife and I jumped on a plane a few months beforehand. We came to check out the city. We came to like discern the will of God. Abraham had none of that. He was like, okay, we're going to go. Where we're going? You just trust me. We're going. We're going to the place that you've never been to before. Wow, this sounds fun. Oh, that's terrifying. It's like throwing him out of an airplane at 14,000 feet with no parachute on. Like, what's my safety mechanism here? Just me. Trust me, Abram. Trust me. It's going to work out. So it's stepping out toward the unknown. So Abram went. And verse 4 is just crazy simplistic, but just what? So Abram went. That's what it says. So Abram went on the word of God. Now, we can assume at this stage he doesn't know God super well. He's going to get to know God very well. But he didn't grow up in a Christian home. He didn't grow up in a Jewish – like, hadn't even materialized yet. In fact, it's more like he grew up with the surrounding pagan religions of his time. And so he's getting to know God. And so don't think, Abram knew God. He walked with God. Not at this stage of his life. The end of his life, yes, he knows God very well. He's seen God's track record. He's kind of just going out on just trusting God's word. God comes to him. We don't know exactly how he comes to him, but God comes to him and says, Abram, it's time to take your family. Let's go. So Abram stepped away from everything that was known to him towards the unknown. Hebrews 11 frames it like this. Hebrews 11 looks back on some of these heroes of the faith and begins to kind of give some commentary. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now, a lot of people think that faith means taking a blind leap and hoping it's true. That is not what the author is saying. Just take a blind leap. And a lot of people dismiss faith like, it's just a blind leap of faith. That's not what the author is saying. He's talking about moving into the reality that what God says can be trusted, and faith is stepping out on what God has revealed to be true and living like it's true. That's not blind at all. That's trust, but it's not blind at all. And so Kent Hughes commenting further on this, he says, that idea is radical because it challenges the dominant ideologies of our time, which yearn for settlement, security, and placement. Everything around us tells us to hunker down, save everything, hedge ourselves about with every protection. Our natural desires are for more comforts. Our culture celebrates great homes and dynastic families. But God's word says otherwise. And so right there, this is going against the flow in many ways, obeying God and uprooting your family in many ways and starting afresh in a new place. But God's word trumps everything else. And so the New Testament uses Abram over and over and over again to be a model of faith for us. And here's the great thing. Abram was far from perfect. And so this is the great news for you and I, because sometimes, again, we can look at these people, Abram, Moses, we can look at Joseph, I think, and we can say, my gosh, these people are just incredible, like super Christians. No, they were really, like, had some dark moments. If you read Abram's story, he was far from perfect. Sometimes he had stepped out in faith and in obedience, and it ended up in blessing. Sometimes there were setbacks, and he didn't obey, and it ended in failure. And so that's a little bit like our journey, isn't it? And we can take encouragement from Abram's journey, that our journey is also a little bit like that. One step forward, one step back sometimes. Two steps forward, one step back. It can be a lot like that, but it's a journey of faith. It's a journey of faith, of taking steps towards something that God is pushing us towards. And so this is the journey of faith. Eugene Peterson comments on this passage in his The Message Bible. It says, the great patriarch Abraham became great because of one thing. He lived by faith. He believed in a God he hadn't seen. He took the risk of traveling to a far country and living there as a stranger. His life was shaped by promises and lived in risk. I would like to live like that. But before I do, I want to know how it turned out. Did anything come of it? That's the difference between living by faith and living by sight. Those living by sight need to see the entire map of the journey, where they will end up, where the dangers are, where the drop-offs are, and where the rest stops are. Those living by faith need only to know the next step. One of my favorite Martin Luther King Jr. quotes is this: take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And maybe just to add a little bit onto that, God really will show you the staircase. In fact, I could almost say God almost never shows you the staircase. I mean, it's a step of faith. It's a step of faith. Because if he showed you the staircase, our faith would be in the staircase, not in him. And that's constantly what we're doing, is like, that's even the danger of taking a step of faith, because we take a step of faith and then, oh, there's something there, and quickly we can direct our faith. And the journey of faith is a journey of faith because it never gets easier in some ways. It does. You begin to see God's track record. You begin to trust him. But it's over. The stakes seem to get higher, is what I'm saying. I don't think you ever get to a place of like, I'm going to go and trust God. Like, you can get to a place of maturity that says, yeah, God's way is best way. But there will be challenges. There'll be greater things that you have to step away from. Good things that you have to step away from. These are not bad things that he's stepping away from. A country, a nation is not a bad thing. A family is not, it's a great thing. But it's not the best thing for you, Abram, right now. If you stay, your purpose, it ends here. My purpose is to do something through you. Do you want to join me in that? And so many of us are in that position right now. It's hard to step away. It's easier to step away from bad things, but it's hard to step away from good things. And so it's stepping toward the unknown, but it's also stepping toward what's known. What's known in the situation? Not where he's going. What's known in the situation? But God is calling him to take the step of faith. Which brings us to the last one. Stepping out requires trust. I think trust is a word more closely associated with faith in the Bible than belief. Because belief can kind of just rattle around in your head. Trust needs to get into your heart and into your body. And so stepping out requires trust. There was a level of trust that I had to have in that instructor to join myself to him in our last dying moments, maybe. All right? There was a level of trust I had to have in the equipment. There was a level of trust I had to have in the pilot. You step onto an airplane, you exercise a lot of faith. You step onto the subway, you're exercising faith that the person carrying is going to do a good job and get you there, right? Can you see how we live a lot by faith, right? You go to a restaurant, you order by faith, hoping that they're going to bring you what you order. And then there's not going to be like poison or something in it, right? Oh, sorry, was that not salt? Did I just throw in some poison? I'm so sorry, that's a mistake. We all live by faith. Are you getting the point here? What's your source? And let's cut to the chase. The Bible says that our source ultimately is God. It really is. And so, let me not jump ahead of myself here. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. We're going to end here now. Trust God. This is from the Message Bible. Some of you might know a different version, but I love this version. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. I love the words everything and everywhere. God is interested in all the details of our lives as well. Okay, now don't get paralyzed. God, I'm by faith, I need to choose tomorrow's outfit. Okay, like God's given us common sense as well, right? But don't assume, just going with the flow, that this decision to take this job or not that job is God's will. Have you asked him? Have you consulted him? Maybe it offers more, but maybe it's going to be detrimental to your family, right? Consult him. Oh, it's better to move to this city, to that place. Have you asked him? It's really expensive in Toronto. Does he want you here? He'll provide, right? Just don't go with the flow. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. What's God saying? And how am I obeying? The journey of faith is a series of steps, just a series of steps of taking a step. There's the staircase, another step. Here's the great news. We are in a much better place than Abram ever was to be able to take that step of faith. Why? Because we know so much more about God than Abram did at that moment. Abram had a word, a sentence. Abram, I want you to leave your country, your family, and your household, and I want you to go to this land. That's it. We have 66 books of words from the same God. Not only that, some of you are like, books are for like, I'm not a book person, I'm a visual person. Great. He took the written word and he made it come alive. You have the living word and his name is Jesus Christ. Anything and everything that's trustworthy about God, we look at him. You doubt, is God for me? You look at Jesus. You doubt that does God love me, care about me? You look at Jesus. You see the sacrifice of his life. You see the care and concern he has for you, for you, for you, for the nations of the world, for this planet. You say, God, that God is to be trusted. That not only did he die, but he rose from the grave. Gosh, that's a person to be trusted. Because not a lot of people are doing that these days. And so through Jesus, we see the trustworthiness of God. When you and I step out and trust God, here's what happens. You begin to transform and change. When you don't, you just stay where you are. So we all want muscles, right? Hopefully, some of us. Well, we want to be in shape. We want to be in shape. What's that going to require? Doing some work, right? It's going to require exercising that muscle. And so we change as we step out and trust God in the small things. You say, well, God hasn't spoken to me. He's, have you opened your Bible recently? There's so much that he's already promised and spoken. Yes, sometimes God gives very specific instructions. I want you to uproot and take your family to Toronto, right? Great. That's not in Scripture. You're not going to read that in Scripture. But there are so many things that are very clear in Scripture that we can organize and live our lives around as if it's real, reality and true. Remember, that's what trust is looking like. It's taking the reality of what God says and saying it's living like it's true. Secondly, not only are we transformed, when we obey God like that, the mission of God accelerates. When people obey like that, when Tristan and Margaret obey and leave the Philippines and come here and join us, the mission moves forward when we step out of our comfort zones. And then lastly, and here's a big one, and if you follow the story of Abram, this is kind of an understatement. Our obedience has a ripple effect of blessing. Your obedience is really just for you. Same could be said for disobedience. Abram takes a step of faith and obeys God, and it results in a ripple of blessing that you and I are still enjoying. Because from his step of faith came the nation of Israel. From the nation of Israel came Jesus. From Jesus birthed the church, and here we are today. And so what obedient step could God be calling you to make that you have no idea the consequences, good for your family, for your kids, for his mission, for whatever it is that he's calling you to do. And so as we go back into a time of worship and invite a worship team up, is there an area right now in your life where you perhaps sense maybe God is calling you to step out in faith? And it may not be as big as moving your family to the other side of the world. Maybe it's a small thing, but it's a significant thing in your life. What words or words, what scriptures can speak into that situation to help you to cultivate faith and trust in your life, right? Faith responds to what God said. What trusted voices can you go to confirm or put a pause on that? Think about ways that you can obey God and just day-to-day living. Work that muscle of trust. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. And as we do that, you and I will be transformed and changed. His mission will accelerate, and obedience will bring blessing. Now, we're going to end the series a few weeks from now in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12. And it tells us all these men and women that live by faith got a glimpse of the promise in their life, but never fully tasted the fullness of it. And I'll say to you this, you may get a glimpse of some of the promises of God in this life, but God is not to be mocked. There will come a day when all the fullness of his promises will be truly realized, whether in this life or the next. But we're called to trust him. God speaks, we respond. Let's pray. I invite you to stand. Let's pray. God, help us to be men and women of faith. But we don't deny the importance of believing the correct things. We understand that that's very important, that we We have a faith, a tradition that's rich in its beliefs, solid in its beliefs. But we also recognize that faith is so much more than just saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. That faith trusts, and that trust is enacted in our daily lives. And so right now, God, forgive us in the ways that we don't live like we trust you. That we still want to take things into our own hands. We still want control of our lives. Still sometimes think, as inconceivable as it might sound, but we still think that our way is better than your way. Lord, we know that that lie is as old as the Garden of Eden itself. And so help us, Lord. Help people here today, God, who feel like they're on the threshold of stepping out. Would you give them the courage to take the leap, Lord? That it's not just a blind leap, but it's trusting you. For those that don't know you enough to trust you, God, would you draw them closer, even as we sang that song earlier? And ultimately, Lord, would we trust you because of what you, Jesus, did for us? That you are trustworthy. That if we can entrust our eternal life to you, if we can entrust our salvation to you, then we can trust you for today. We can trust you for tomorrow. We can trust you for the next day. I can trust you for my family. I can trust you for my church. I can trust you for my campus, my school, my workplace, my city. Gosh, God, we can even trust you for this nation. And so help us, Lord. Help us to let go of those areas that we want to cling on to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.